I got a physical Bitcoin in the mail. And what's the deal with transaction times? Plus, a special ICO spotlight visit with Wolk.com. Hey, it's like Donnie and Marie variety show, but without talent and sparkly white teeth. Welcome to episode number 16 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Who's bad?
Some crypto information. All right, I'm going to get on the phone here and call Crypto Phone.
Welcome to Crypto Phone. For Bitcoin, press 1. For Ethereum, press 2. For Litecoin, press 3. You selected Litecoin. What would you like to do? Buy Litecoin, press 1. Sell Litecoin, press 2. What the heck is Litecoin? Press 3. And to HODL, press 4. You've selected HODL. Hold on for dear life. Hey, Travis, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. That's an amazing phone number. If you guys want to reach that number is 708-885-9030, I believe, correct?
That's right. That's a great place to get information. Actually, you won't get any information, but you can reach us at that number and you can leave a message, whether it's a question that you have or a compliment, or you want to sing us a song, or you just want to rant in general. That's Travis Wright over there making the phone calls, and I am Joel Com. We welcome you to this episode 16 of the Bad Crypto Podcast. We're so glad you're here.
That's correct. We're woke like an Egyptian.
Yeah. We're going to get into that. We are going to have an ICO spotlight here in today's show and a Bad Crypto Extra. You're going to be able to go over to our YouTube channel and our Facebook page and see an extended interview with the folks from woke.com. But first, just want to thank everybody because it's time to celebrate crypto. Come on. Why are we celebrating today?
My. This is a momentous occasion. We don't like to toot our horns too much. We toot our horns a little. We like to toot our own horns.
Like crazy. I'm tooting. There's so much
it's
tooting.
From all that Neo gas, we're tooting.
It's horns. A rootin' tootin' good time.
That's correct. We have just passed our 100,000th download of the Bad Crypto Podcast, you guys. 100,000 in like 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's I'm rarely speechless, but for just a second, let's be speechless. Okay, that's all the speechlessness we could do. Thank you for listening, and we continue to give away Badcoin to celebrate the success of this show, and we can cut it off at any time. We're not going to tell you when it cuts off, so if you haven't gotten your free Badcoin yet, we have distributed 35 million of them in our initial coin giveaway. It's not really a coin, though. It's a token. It should be an ITG, an initial token giveaway, not an initial coin giveaway.
That's correct. It's a token asset that is, you know, basically just a token.
By the way, in the last show, you said we gave away like $32 million in bad coin. I'm like, and I listened to it. I'm like, no, we gave away 32 million bad coins, which equals, you know, nothing.
That's
pretty
correct.
Much.
$0 worth, 32 million distributed. Very good.
And we appreciate the reviews. Again, we are still giving away 100,000 Badcoin for a review. Both of these are in the show notes. And if you want to find out how to do it, go to badco.in/012 was the initial. But you'll link it up in the show notes as well, right?
We like to link things up. It makes it easy for our fine folks to follow along. And that is badcryptopodcast.com. And we're noticing some substantial amounts of traffic actually going to the site organically. So that's great. So people are finding valuable use of that. If you have any time, if you have any questions about that, you know, you can reach out to us. There's a contact us button there that you can just reach us, ask some questions that way. And we got a search bar so you can, we've tagged everything pretty effectively. So any of those previously 15 episodes. Yeah, yep.
Come on in, partner, and step up to the search bar. It's not the genius bar, that's for sure. And speaking of questions, let's jump into that segment. So it does take longer for some currency to transact than others, especially when you're dealing with something like Bitcoin. Why is that?
So, you know, those transactions have to reach consensus within the network. And that's a big modifying big word there, consensus.
Consensus. And then there's a fancy word.
There's one of them $3 words, or as we like to say, 0.0001 of a Bitcoin. But the reason is the miners on the network, they have to first include your transaction into the block for it to be verified, right? And then once it gets in the block, then it has to get, what, five or six various different people to...
Six. I think six is the minimum consensus for Bitcoin, but there's a different number for each of the different tokens and currencies. Mm-hmm. But six is what you're looking for with Bitcoin. I think it's something like, and I'm guessing here, but I want to say it's at least 12 for Ethereum.
Right. And so keep in mind, you know, different coins have different purposes. So, you know, Bitcoin originally is sort of built like gold, and it's a store of wealth. Other currencies are built like currencies, and they transact very, very fast. Like we had Lumens, the episode where we gave away Stellar Lumens, and that one goes really fast. Ripple goes really fast. Dogecoin goes really fast. And conversely, Litecoin goes faster than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is, in my estimation, at least from personal experience, the slowest of them at this point.
It is. It's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. You know, the Bitcoin is kind of like the tortoise, but it's winning the race. So, you know, there's the moral of the story again. Slow and steady wins the race, but it's not the best for fast transactions. And attached to this are the transaction fees. Since Bitcoin is so far into mining, it gets more expensive for the miners to mine them. And that's why the transaction fees are higher.
That's correct. And as more Bitcoin gets mined, more transactions are going to have transaction fees. Back in the day, transacting was free. That's no longer the case on Bitcoin. There's still a small little transaction fee, depending. But here's the thing. If you're using your credit card or your debit card, those banks, they're taking 2 to 3% sometimes from the merchants whenever you're buying stuff. So there are existing fees that happen when you're transacting, just not as much on cryptocurrency. And in some of them, you know, like BitShares, it's just like a tiny fraction of an amount. Like it's like a half. It's like, what is it, about a 0.2 of a BitShare?
I can tell you exactly what it is. For those of you that are requesting free Badcoin from us, that actually costs us. Every time we send Badcoin out, there's a fee. And the fee for us is 0.237 BitShares. Now, BitShares is currently at 12 cents a BitShare. So if I multiply that on my newfangled Texas Instrument desktop calculator, that's 0.028. So it costs us almost 3 cents to send you worthless currency.
That's true. So we just want to give you our 2 to 3 cents, you know, worth our opinion.
And that's all it's worth. Thanks for the question. We love your questions. Send them via email to badcryptopodcast@gmail.com. Send them to the voicemail. Our operators are always standing by at 708-885-9030 or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/badcrypto, or wherever you can find us. Sometimes we're hiding, you know, under a rock counting our coins.
We find a lot of times the voicemail is really solid because then you get a chance to be on the episode, which is great because we're only getting, maybe between 5 to 10 per week, maybe at the most. So, you know, go ahead and step up and give us a call. We're getting lots of contact on the contact form on our website, and we're getting a ton of questions on Facebook, our Facebook page, but Facebook kind of makes that hard to find. So we actually just discovered a whole bunch of questions over there that we hadn't covered yet. So
looky there, Clem. Oh, question.
There's like 30 something, 40, 50, 80, 80 know, right? Questions up on our.
All right. Should we do the news?
Let's do the news.
To the news. And in this corner, weighing in at whatever he's weighing in at, Joel Calm. And in that corner, weighing in at a little bit more than whatever Joel weighs. Travis Wright. And did you watch the fight, man? Of course you did.
We did. We watched the fight. Pretty interesting to watch a dude from MMA versus one of the best boxers of all time. And they had a pretty interesting fight. They hung in there. They hung in there for quite a while, 10 rounds.
Yeah, of course, we're dating this episode, recording it on the evening of the 27th of August. Last night, August 26th, was the much ballyhooed and overhyped Floyd Mayweather and Colin McGregor fight, harkening back to last week's episode featuring, what were their names? Sean and...
Sean and Alistair.
Yeah. Alistair
that was definitely embarrassing. Listening
Alistair
back to
was rooting for for his homeboy, and of course, homeboy. I was disappointed. I mean, nobody took a knee. You know, you wanted to see somebody hit the mat once,
right? And they stopped. I mean, because I've seen some MMA fights with McGregor, and that dude has taken some poundings and come back and still won. And for them to just to call the fight off when they're making to collectively. The purse was $500 million. And they're like, oh, yeah. We're protecting them from brain damage. Well, look, they're getting in the ring, beating each other up for $500 million. At least if you're hurting, take a knee, right? Yeah, I was right. Upset. We had all these people on my Facebook, though, going, now you just don't understand the boxings. Like, okay.
Well, there's actually a connection. We're not just jumping on the boxing bandwagon because everybody's talking about it. There is a crypto connection, and some of you might not know that Floyd Money Mayweather has actually been out there talking and backing ICOs. And I think he just did his second. He was supporting a new one here just recently. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, so he had on August 2nd, July 27th, he had a post on Instagram where he talked about the Stocks, STOX ICO. And so that thing has got almost 700,000 likes. That's pretty huge. And then a couple days before the fight, looks like 4 days ago, he says, you can call me Floyd Crypto Mayweather from now on, Hubi.network. ICO starts tomorrow. Smart contracts for sports. So sports was, I don't even know what it does. Something probably, I guess, around betting for sports.
Yeah, I would guess so. And obviously he's, you know, is anybody who's going to promote, he's getting some coins or tokens to be a spokesperson. So, you know, whatever the $400 million or whatever he earned yesterday isn't enough. He needs a little crypto in his life, and I can't blame him. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And so the good news here is that the mainstream is starting to hear about cryptocurrency.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at the Hubi.network page right now. So
Hubi.
It says a blockchain-based decentralized content marketplace. So that doesn't sound sports related at all. I'd have to take a look at that. But yeah, so obviously the mainstream is hearing more about it. As we mentioned in last episode, there is even a documentary on Netflix right now about, it's called Banking on Bitcoin. And that was a great show. I really, really enjoyed that. You get to see the origins of Bitcoin, and you're going to watch it and you're going to kick yourself in the ass. Like, oh my God, how did I not hear about this and do something about this then? Oh my God. I was looking at some silver of mine, Joel, and I have these 3 5-ounce coins and this 10 ounce coin that I got in 2011, and it was near December. And so I looked on that. If I had instead, with those 25 ounces of silver at the time when the price was around $40 an ounce of silver, if I had instead taken that and bought Bitcoin at $2 a coin, dude, that would be worth about $2.5 million right now. And I'm literally looking at these coins that have decreased in value by over half. So it's like one of those moments in life where you're going, oh my God, Marty, well, get the time machine.
As the old saying goes, if its and buts were candy and nuts, it would be Christmas every day.
It's painful, though. It's painful looking.
Well, I mean, nobody's got the time machine. And so it just is what it is. But, you know, when we take it to market right now, the reason we started out with you selecting Litecoin is because Litecoin has hit some new highs. In fact, as of right this minute on Coinbase, Litecoin is at $61.87 after rallying to a high of, I want to say, just around 65 $1,000, which is up $9 in one day and $15 in a week. So
that's so rare. That doesn't normally happen with Litecoin. Litecoin is sort of this stable, you know, easy go, easy does it. You know, everything else is moving in the market. It normally is staying right around the same thing. Now, I'm looking at the Litecoin markets on CoinMarketCap, and I can see that a lot of this is being driven by Korea and Chinese Litecoin markets. And did you have an idea of why this may be happening?
Well, you know, here's what I think. My philosophy is that, and I didn't expect it to be there, so maybe this shoots my philosophy all to heck, but I look at Coinbase, which is the most popular exchange for coins. And there's only three currencies you can buy on Coinbase: Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. And I think, you know, there's a lot of new people who are coming to cryptocurrency and they're going, man, one Bitcoin is $4,300 and this Ethereum thing is $347. But look, this Litecoin, you know, is only 50 or 55 or 60. And they don't think in terms of buying fragments of a coin. They think of buying a coin. And so I think, and also when you see the others that have gone on their run and Litecoin, you know, has not had this wild ride, I think people might think, hey, maybe this one's due. So, you know, that's not really deep analysis. It's really surface. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm going to lock that in as my final answer.
That's your final answer. And also, if you are thinking about, you know, jumping into this whole crypto game, you can go to badco.in/Coinbase. And
free crypto, baby.
Free crypto. They give you $10 worth of Bitcoin when you purchase $100 worth of Bitcoin or any of the other cryptos on their platform. And when that happens, we also get $10. So that's a good, that's a win-win deal.
It is a total win-win deal. And so lots of people are doing that too. It's a great way to get introduced, and everybody wins Bitcoin.
Just make sure to transfer that off of that exchange onto a wallet after that clears. But I want to give you my final answer because there's an article on Bitcoin.com that talks about the Lightning Network launching the third release featuring Bitcoin and Litecoin atomic swaps, meaning in real time you'll be able to switch Bitcoin with Litecoin. That's what an atomic swap is. Atomic swap. Never mind.
Thanks for that. That was beautiful what you just did right there. That was some atomic funk.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about funkadelic parliament.
It warmed the cockles of my heart, and my heart did not even know that there were cockles.
This is a PG show. We don't want to hear about your cockles.
Hey, cockles are a real thing. You have to go look it up, though, if you want to. We might link cockles of the heart in the show notes. Finally, as we finish up the news, this is not really a news story per se, but it is news for me. I actually have a physical Bitcoin in my hands. I am going to clink it.
You can tell that it is not any metal of any value just by that disgusting clink.
I clinked it against a real 1 ounce silver. It looks like gold, and there's a picture of it in the show notes of me holding it, and it's B for beautiful. It's this gorgeous looking Bitcoin, and I paid $12 for it, knowing full well.
That is almost the price. That is almost what you can do for an ounce of silver.
Yeah, knowing full well that this is not a real Bitcoin, and I bought it on eBay, and we're going to link in the show notes for you. There are people that are selling real Bitcoin on eBay, and there are people selling these commemorative gold-plated. They're not really gold-plated. It's not real gold. It's every bit of fakeness, but it feels, you know, like an ounce. It's an ounce of...
Can you clink it again? I want to hear the difference. Yeah. I want to hear your clink, and then I'm going to clink what silver sounds like.
Okay, here comes my clink.
All right, and here's silver. You can tell the difference.
Not even. So if you follow the link in the show notes to eBay, you can see that there are people that are selling fractional amounts of Bitcoin directly to your wallet. Now, I don't understand why somebody would buy Bitcoin that way, because odds are you're going to pay a premium for that. But if you do want to have one of these little fakey ones, they're kind of fun. Now, I actually do see There actually is a physical Bitcoin device that is a coin that was made in limited edition that actually does contain currency. And there's one that I'm seeing right now. It says sparkling cacaceous silver MS68 loaded Bitcoin, and it's selling for $9,000. I would imagine it's not worth that, but maybe there's a collectible market for these limited edition coins that were made.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you're looking at some of them and like, here's a Bitcoin paper wallet with 0.001 Bitcoin. This one right here seems weird to me. Why would it say it's 1/10 of a Bitcoin, fast delivery to your Bitcoin wallet, and it's $200? So it's actually half the price of a regular Bitcoin. That just reeks of scam to me. Or somebody's clearly...
Yeah. So you know what? Weird. Just realize that it might not be the safest place to buy Bitcoin on eBay. But if you want one of these little tokens, it was totally worth it for me to have this. I keep it on my desk. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the fun I'm having learning about cryptocurrency and how much fun Travis and I are having sharing it with you.
It's a great place to buy silver or gold, though. I bought a ton of gold and silver there over the years. I haven't in a long time just because the price has been depressingly low. Basically, all the silver that I bought, I lost about half the money on.
Oh, everybody hug Travis, and let's go to our featured segment for the show. So what's shaking, people? It's time for our featured ICO of the week, and as you know, this is a sponsored segment, and Travis and I have vetted the company and the people that we're bringing to you, but we wanted to let you know in full disclosure, because we promise full transparency to you at all times, that we are being compensated for this piece. It's going to get pretty technical in here, and it's going to stretch you a little bit, especially if you're new. So open your ears extra wide, listen in as we welcome today's guest. And we have with us today Mr. Surabh Nayogi, who is the CEO of Woke.com. I almost want to say woke, like I got woke, but it's W-O-L-K. And we're going to learn from him today about their upcoming ICO. And for those of you in the future, we see you already, and it will already have happened. And perhaps you'll be able to find the Woke token on the exchanges. Hey, Surabh, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
Excellent. We're really glad to have you. Why don't you just tell us a little summary Reader's Digest version about yourself and your history?
Got it. So we've been working in the mobile advertising space for many years. So I'm kind of an ad tech and a data junkie guy for about 20 years. And so I previously ran CrossChannel, a mobile DSP. So a lot of the mobile apps that you guys, if you see any games, we had a long history of getting data about device IDs and trying to understand how to target ads to the right people in mobile advertising. And we basically the bottom line is that Facebook and Google have a ton of data, and whereas mobile DSPs and generally digital marketers don't know a lot of information. So that's why, if you ask, why am I not seeing more quality advertising when I play mobile games? It's because Facebook and Google have basically gotten really great data about everybody, and it leaves a lot of other folks in the mobile advertising ecosystem in the dust. So over many years of working in mobile advertising, we recognized that data was really important for us to do well, and we basically incubated Woke as a concept. And have a separate company with many of the original folks from CrossChannel working with us.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that. So, as we mentioned a little bit before the show, I am a marketing technologist and I have an advertising agency here in Kansas City. And so I deal with a lot of, paid search, paid social ads, display ads, all the mobile ads as well. And there's been a big problem with fraudulent ad clicks and then inventory problems and then not having a lot of trust in the ad networks. Now, I also do a podcast with VentureBeat, and we interviewed some folks from Tune, and they had a great report where they had ran, and they said over 700 ad networks that they had done analysis on
only 35 of them had no fraud. 8 of them had 100% fraud, and over 50% of them had a majority fraud.
Not good.
That is not good. So that's a big problem in the advertising space, right? And so having said that, and you're talking about how Woke is going to help solve mobile attribution and maybe some of the other things within mobile advertising, how does this happen, and what exactly is Woke?
Yes. So we're basically running a decentralized data exchange. So in mobile advertising, there's mobile device IDs. In email, there's emails and phone numbers. These are the core identifiers where our data exchange is going to be focused on. So if you're a data supplier and you know something about mobile device ID X or email or phone number, and in the future, other ID spaces, you can onboard that data onto our platform. And earn Woke when some data buyer actually wants to get information about some ID. So I am Sarab Nayogi. I have sarab.nayogi@gmail.com and so forth. I'm 45, male. These basic bits are enormously informative to the advertising community. So they can target and say, if I have products relevant to this age, this gender, or the people who use these apps or have done in-app purchases. So what data buyers do is they use our API. So they say, hey, I want to know something more about this device ID, email, or phone number. I would like to bid on this age or gender bit, or get, you know, find out what apps they use. And then if they do that, they can do it hundreds of millions of times a day for IDs that they just saw yesterday. And they can basically buy pieces of data that they can then use in their targeting systems. You can use it for mobile advertising, like us as a DSP buying, ad networks, same use case. But you could also have personalized emails. Say, okay, well, if I, you know, here's a new email, they just registered on my site. Who are they? What are they interested in? Our data exchange facilitates those core interactions.
So
we don't attack fraud per se, but generally, if you have better information about the users that you're trying to target, instead of everybody, you know, carpet bombing everybody, as in many sort of untargeted campaigns, you can get down to that laser precision that many people have gotten used to when they use Google or Facebook.
So a lot of listeners are kind of new to the blockchain and crypto space. And I'm wondering if you can break down really easy to understand language for them, how big the market for advertising is and why you feel it's important to put this on the blockchain.
Yeah, I would say hold on a second, because I'm hearing some feedback through Rob's mic. So whenever somebody's talking, it's coming through your speaker.
Okay. I'm on Third Avenue, so we had a lot of cars here.
No, it's not that. It's when Joel was talking, it's coming through your end.
Oh, okay.
Do you have some earbuds maybe or something you can?
Okay. I'll
test.
I'll use it here. If you need it, I'll get a separate mic. What question? Sorry,
you want to ask that question again, Joel?
Let me just run a test again on the audio, and if we need, I'll just edit right here. It sounds like it's better right now. So the question was, how big is the advertising marketplace?
Because sure.
People who are thinking,
yeah. So Facebook and Google are basically.
Let me let you start that again, because I'm going to have a hard stop there, and I don't want to be speaking over you. Okay.
So Facebook and Google are basically the top guys in mobile advertising. So all the revenue that you see from Facebook basically is all advertising oriented, pretty much, and for Google likewise. And basically, the world has shifted from their desktop onto mobile. So a lot of people just start with their searches on mobile and sort of finish on their desktop. So pretty much, the vast majority of Facebook and Google's revenue is advertising based. And the joke in the mobile advertising industry is that 11 out of $10 in the mobile advertising is made by Facebook and Google. So it's on the order of Facebook and Google.
How many billions are we talking about? Put it in a number. How much billions in advertising revenue?
It's $20 to $40 billion, depending on how you size it up, a year. And for us, there's email marketing and phone directories. And those are just our starting spaces. It's just that they're very tightly correlated in mobile.
So the follow-up question is why tokenize this? Why blockchain advertising data exchange?
Right. So we've basically looked at the existing ways for mobile companies to monetize their data. So they have an advertising revenue stream. Some gaming companies make in-app purchases. But very few people are making a lot of revenue with data. So there's the existing ways people monetize data are pretty weak. And there's an impression-based business model that just doesn't add up relative to the advertising revenue. So we basically said, why don't we combine the cryptocurrency business model with data so that data suppliers can make a significantly more amount of money when they have quality deterministic data. So our data suppliers who have a million daily actives or a million monthly actives, if they have significant information about consumers that are usable for data buyers, they can earn WOLC instead of dollars. And just like the WOLC token contributors, they, along with the WOLC token contributors, can see price appreciation whenever the data buyers access their data, basically.
Let me ask you this. Okay.
Fundamentally, are inventing new ways of data monetization and allowing the community to earn alongside the data suppliers.
No, that's great. Let me ask you this here, because I think this is going to be confusing to some of our listeners because they're interested in crypto. They may not be interested in advertising, or they may not know what a DSP is or an SSP or an ad exchange and how that ecosystem works. So is there maybe a sort of a 1,000 foot level of, you know, to explain that to folks? I understand it. Joel understands it.
Yeah. Basically, the bottom line is that everybody needs a directory. Somebody walks into your website, somebody shows up in your advertising universe, somebody just called you, and it's an ID, you know? What do we know about this ID? Our data exchange answers that question.
So somebody has a mobile phone, it has an ID, a unique ID attached to this phone, and nobody else has that ID. So if that ID shows up on your website, your data exchange will know that this ID has certain attributes attached to it.
That's right.
So like Facebook knows seemingly everything about us, right? Because of what we post, what we like, what we don't like, who we follow, who we unfollow. And what I hear you saying is by putting it on blockchain and tying it back to individual user ID, you'll actually have access to even more specific data than Facebook or Google would have. Is that accurate?
We're starting with very generic bits of information like age, gender, and the other ID. So if this device ID is attached to these emails are attached to those phone numbers. So there's a core group of IDs that if you ask, you know, what are the other IDs I know? So there's kind of that. And then there's these sort of, what apps do I use? Do I make any in-app purchases? So we're starting some core bits, which are immediately actionable and sort of used by everybody. And then the next level is sort of, what are you interested in? Are you in the market for certain kinds of things, which are closer to what Google has than sort of what Facebook has.
Yeah, to kind of bring it home for people that are listening, you know, we keep hearing about big data and how big data is big money. And you know, what we discovered in WOLC is these guys are really one of the first to, if not the first, to tackle big data from a B2C methodology. Is there any competition out there for you right now, Shurab?
So there's a lot of places where advertisers can get information. So, you know, the idea, we're not the first person to provide information about it, but the way we're doing it is connecting it to cryptocurrency with the WOLC token so that data monetization can work much better for data suppliers and for data buyers to work with an API to access in a really scalable way in the backend storage that we're using. So we're combining a decentralized backend storage with a decentralized virtual currency to make it, the economics work for everybody in a way that makes sense for data buyers and data sellers.
So, I mean, yeah, there are some, you know, there are other DSPs out there, right? You know, Criteo, AdRoll, there's a few other ones out there, but this is the only one that's really utilizing blockchain and cryptocurrency. What I want to know is, you know, who is earning the tokens? Are the or the brands who are asking for the data, do they have to pay you guys in Woke? So they got to go to an exchange to buy Woke to be able to access this data? Or and how do people actually use the token?
Yeah, so right now we accept things in USD from data buyers. After the token generation event, the data buyers will basically put in Ethereum and get Wolf tokens. And when the data buyers use the Wolf tokens, they use their API and bid in their local currency. So they say, hey, I want to bid on this ID. I want to bid $1 per 1,000 data points in dollars, but they're actually going to use up a small portion of their Wolf. Okay. So when they get data back, they're actually using up a portion of their Wolf. So let's say you had 100 Wolf being used up by a specific data buyer's calls for a given day. The data suppliers get like 75 to 80 of the Wolf that that data buyer use sort of consumes. We as intermediary charge a 15 Wolf fee. And then there's 5 Wolf that gets burnt up on average. And then that sort of allows the Wolf token to appreciate so that the entire community can be rewarded for the data buyer consuming these data bits. So in the big picture, the Wolf gets purchased by the data buyers and then transmitted to the data suppliers. And then the community of Wolf token holders see the benefits
see,
of that.
I think that.
And we hope that buyers hold that.
This might be blowing some minds because you folks are beginning to see how blockchain can be used for just so thousands of different applications. And as we uncover these and bring them to you, I think not only is it going to open your mind to what's possible for you to use yourself on the blockchain, where you benefit, what utility you're going to get, but also where you might choose to invest. And of course, we're not making any recommendations here. This is purely for your entertainment purposes. We're not financial advisors, and we recommend that you do your own due diligence. Fortunately, sites like Wolk.com have plenty of information for you to do the research. If you go to WOLK.com, you can see all about them, who their team is made of. They've got their white papers here on the site for you to do your research. And they've got a token event that is starting on September the 10th and running until October 9th. So Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, so we have people registering from September 10th through September 18th as to prepare for the token generation event, which starts on September 18th. We're raising 50,000 ETH at a minimum and going all the way up to 400,000 ETH. It's a very high target. That allows us to really build out the ecosystem of suppliers to have a lot of data that really makes this data exchange work. So the mechanics of the video, mechanics of how to participate, it's a KYC process. So people have to register with us in that first week, and then they can KYC? Basically.
What does explain that?
It's a know your customer. So basically, you have to. Provide a few bits of information, your name and your address and your basic identification information. And that allows us to be a US-based token generation event. We are technically, the Wolk token is not technically a security, it's a utility token. But for prudency and for FinCEN requirements and regulatory reasons, we ask that people register themselves in this regulatory landscape of the U.S.
Beautiful.
Anybody in the world.
So that whole process of knowing your customer, having them sign up and a sign up date prior to the token generation event, that's what helps us stay above board with the SEC?
Our legal folks have done an analysis on the Wolk token and its API type properties. And they've gone through the Howey tests and all the various prongs on that. And then they say, well, the Wolk token is not a security and it doesn't require accredited investors. But we do offer on our website all the risks and disclosures and it's fully described in this purchase agreement that people can review when they register with us starting September 10th.
Oh, that's great. I have a question around the I'm always curious about the token economics and how you determine how many Ethereum that you are trading in for Woke tokens for, you know, does this change over time? Like some that we've talked to is like, oh, the first week it's going to be this amount. You get X amount of this token for this many Ethereum. The second week is a little bit different. The third week you get a little bit less. And so how did you guys determine what that the token economics are and what are the token economics? Like if somebody wanted to go there and be a part of this, how many Woke do they get for their Ethereum?
Yeah, so during the primary token token generation event, it's 1,000 Woke per Ether. So if you send one Ether into the Woke token contract, you will get 1,000 Woke. We have adopted, again, our goal was to have great monetization for the contributors as well as the data suppliers. We have adopted the Bancor formula, and we have the use of this purchase Woke and sell Woke functions embedded within our Woke token contract. And so that means even after the token generation event, you can send an Ether and get back Woke. And you can also say, I'm going to sell my Woke and get back Ether. The way it's technically implemented is that there's a reserve balance inside the smart token contract. It's similar to how Bancor works, and we have the same kind of formulaic. We basically adapted their Bancor formula for our Woke token. So it means that everybody can always have liquidity by interacting with the smart contract. So it's really valuable. And in terms of the whole picture of economics, yes?
I'm just wondering where have you spoken with any exchanges yet about where people will be able to buy and sell after the event?
So I think we have a pretty high target for our token generation event. So we expect that most folks who get to 100,000 Ether or more automatically get listed on the other exchanges. But because this sell Woke and purchase Woke will be part of the smart contract itself, you don't need to have liquidity on the exchanges. You simply interact with the contract themselves. So if purchase Woke is contract, if people call purchase Woke, the price kind of goes up. And if people sell Woke, the price goes down, and it's completely automatic, and it doesn't require a third-party exchange.
It's a that's a different kind of solution. Surab Nayogi, CEO of Woke.com. And Surab, where do you prefer people reach out to you about the ICO, about the token, or anything about your business model?
Sure. So you can email us at tokensale@woke.com, and I'm Surab@woke.com. Comment if you want to reach out to me individually, and then our whole team was ready to support everyone throughout the month of September.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to conclude the interview for our podcast listeners, but those of you who want to see some of the screen sharing, the interview is going to continue in our Bad Crypto Extra. So go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/badcrypto, like us and look for the whole video, and you can see our faces and meet Surab face to face that way and see some of the extra we're going to show you, or go to our YouTube channel. And thank you for joining us for this episode of the Bad Crypto Podcast. As I said earlier, and we'll continue to repeatify, we're having a blast doing this. And the fact that y'all out there are enjoying it as well, and more of you crypto chicks are standing up and posting and saying hello to us. So we appreciate that too, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I saw a few shout outs on the Twitters the other day. Crypto chicks and Bitcoin babes, they're popping up all over. This is a beautiful thing.
Maybe we need to have our own, you know, little squad of bad crypto chicks.
This is how we roll.
Or just the bad crypto chicks. You know what? Hey, if you're a bad crypto chick, call us at 708-885-9030 and say whatever you want, but make sure you include stay bad in there, and we will let one of you finish the show.
And we will send you 100,000 bad coin. And absolutely, let's keep that going. Let's keep that review thing going, because we got 100,000 downloads, so we need to have a bad coin party going on.
Yes, we'll throw bad coin at you guys until we're done doing it. So until next time, stay bad. Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.